Live from the 6th and Peabody Studio and across the OutKick Network, this is OutKick 360 with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Out of the gates, ready to go. OutKick 360 is back. Wednesday edition is here. Primary complaint in 45 minutes and many topics across the next 3 hours for your afternoon. Hope you're doing well. Crew is all here. Fantastic as usual. Gentlemen, good afternoon.
Fired up, ready to go today, boys. Going to be an exciting one. Never dull when Dan Dockich joins the show. And we got a lot to talk about.
That's right.
Hope you both had big nights. I know you did.
Seafood, we did.
Seafood dinner for the birthday boy who moved.
Seafood in Middle Tennessee. Paul, your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, nowadays, where everything is flown in.
Yeah,
at a high level restaurant, it's a good call. But once upon a time, it was not a good call. Before everybody was flying stuff in fresh,
I was a bit skeptical because it's just straight seafood, right? And we're not talking Captain D's here. It was phenomenal. Shout out to the Optimist. It is very, very
name.
Good.
It sounds like a place for the magic show. And I know there's a magic
like a
show
place where
downtown
you would
now.
Not be comfortable.
Claire and I talked about this.
Yeah, I should go there to feel uncomfortable.
Claire and I talked about this.
Is there a pessimist?
I wonder if it's...
Yeah, pessimist should be across the street, right? And you go
I wondered
you
if it was
play.
Like a
winners
poem or something. Yeah. Is it a poem about the sea or something like that? I brought that up. Like, I have no idea.
Answers?
I mean, I mean... Paul, you know my education history for the final 6 weeks of.
No, I know.
We went outside.
Poetry.
We went outside for the final.
But you're a guy that would get answers on that, like I got from the dealers about their worst.
That's fair. I didn't look it up. I didn't look it up.
They
have two locations though, here in Atlanta. So you know, Nashville's the new Atlanta.
Well,
so there you go. There you go.
We are traffic.
Very good. And then you know, we need to celebrate again for the weekend. Maybe we get together.
Quickly on Atlanta, by the way, because we were just there this weekend.
Such a pit.
Nashville is nowhere close to Atlanta.
No, but we're on our way.
I don't know that we are, because I've never seen anything like the traffic in Atlanta. And it's all hours. It never ends. There's never a light moment on any of the highways in Atlanta.
Well,
it is unbelievable.
I'll say another thing. I've never gone through Chattanooga without trouble. And we did go into Simon's baseball tournament a couple weeks ago. I didn't say anything to Teresa. She was driving because I was writing coming off the Titans rookie camp practice. I asked her to drive the early part, and then I let her drive the whole thing. We pulled into the hotel. She said, how'd I do with that early part? But I said to her about 45 minutes after Chattanooga, I leaned over and I said, I don't want to say anything during it, lest we run into an accident on the backside or something. But that's the first time we've ever driven through Chattanooga without
no delay,
standstill traffic, isn't it? And she said, yeah, what was that about? And it was at 6 p.m. Eastern time.
Chad, I don't know how you build a dome stadium and not just have a traffic nightmare for the next 3.5 years. And then once it opens, Major League Baseball is going to try to do the same thing somewhere.
We need more lanes.
Around,
on that highway in particular,
jam
on that
everything.
Side of Nashville, we need more lanes. That's the same as it was in 1978. People have sent out pictures.
I get it. But, Paul, what I'm saying is, yes, when the Dome Stadium and bigger events are here and maybe another pro sports team, it's going to grow and get better. I'm just saying I've never been through the heart of Atlanta at any hour.
Nonstop.
Where
without
it's,
stopping.
Yeah, there's always some sort of slowdown. It could be Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock with no big events going on.
You're absolutely
And there's
right.
going to be a slowdown.
I'm not saying we are
I could
Atlanta.
Fly through Nashville. There are days I come in at 10 a.m. on a weekday in Nashville and have no problems.
I'm
whatsoever.
Not saying we are Atlanta. Yeah. I'm saying we're on that track if we don't do better things. And by the way, while we're on this topic, drive damn better, okay? The other day I think there might have been
that
a sprinkle.
Could be a T-shirt.
This was yesterday. There were, on my way in,
you better do it before LaJuan
two accidents, and on my way home, one accident. Listen, I've not had an accident that's my fault since high school, and I'm not the most attentive driver in the world since high school. I'm a 53-year-old man. So what the hell are you doing out there? I want you to be okay, but once I know you're okay, I'm pissed at you because everybody has to stop, and I can't get where the hell I'm going, and I want what Chad has, some breezy drives. So pay damn attention to what you're doing. A, you're going to get somebody hurt, and then B, after that, you're pissing everybody off.
Yeah, there's way too many wrecks. I was thinking about that cruising through Atlanta on Saturday afternoon with all this congestion and like eight lanes, you know, on one side. I'm thinking, if one person screws this up,
it screws everything.
It screws this whole system.
The other side of the street,
like,
too.
The fact that we can drive this tight and close to each other and everyone knows they're doing and going slow in a slow roll, and I'm thinking, if I weren't paying attention, the person behind me hits me. I mean, it screws up the entire interstate system.
Also, listen to this. You've seen accidents before. If there's a police car or a tow truck in the shoulder, trust me, it's not worth all of our time for you to slow down and get a good look at it. It's a mangled up car. Somebody hit the guardrail or something. Somebody might be dead. Go home.
You got to keep going.
Go.
You got to push through.
You got to keep going. But unfortunately, it takes the one
who
doesn't,
slows
and then
down,
it's
and
a
everything.
Slideshow effect.
All right, let's move on to happier things.
Everything. Oh, well, hang on. As we move on to happier things, I was at dinner last night anticipating a text.
No text.
Trying to figure out what happened in the championship matchup. I do know Chad Withrow is a champion.
I do, too. You know, Facebook?
Is it through Facebook?
Well, I found out from Angie Withrow's Facebook. I came in and said congratulations.
Congratulations to Coach Chad Withrow, champion. To Evie Withrow, and to the entire Red Sox softball team.
Well, let's call them the Red Team.
The Red Team for winning, not just winning the title, but only losing one game, a game in which the best players, and I haven't even seen this team.
And the coach.
The best players were had to attend a separate
two
event.
Two of the better players. Two of our five or six best. Yeah.
And two of your two best.
And the coach.
The two best of the five or six best on the team.
Two best of the two best.
Were not available to play. And I'm just making this up because I haven't seen the team play. And I'm bringing this up because that's the only game they
only
lost.
Blemish.
Congratulations on an epic season and the first championship in the first season as head coach.
Thank you, boys.
And now are you forever the head coach now as you continue to climb the ladder with this group?
I have definitely been elected as the forever head coach with this group. But I also am flirting with the idea of
retiring
of batting 1,000, where I coach one season as head coach and I win the whole thing. And by the way, myself as head coach, totally undefeated. Our team went 15-1 on the season, or 16-1, and it was the one that I could not attend. So, look, we had a good group of girls. It's not all about me, I promise. We had a good team.
On this show it is.
If you're watching,
Billy
you can
Martin
see,
over here.
You can see some of the pictures from last night also.
Phil Jackson to my left.
You know, Chad Withrow's only one man. I'm going to start talking to the third person.
What book will you have them read over the summer to prepare for
motivation.
Next year?
Or different books for different girls?
We're gonna study.
I really enjoyed this read.
We're going to study John Wooden's Pyramid of Success all offseason and come back ready.
Teach them how to put on their
night.
Shoes.
I'll say this, too. It was not easy last night. The Rockies did a great job. We were down 4-3 in the bottom of the third.
Gracious.
And it was one of those where I looked at my dugout at one point, and we all had this look in our eye like, this cannot be happening. Because they went through their entire lineup almost twice without a strikeout, which is unheard of.
And they struck
5 and 6 year old.
They were known for striking out the game prior.
In a scouting report, we had heard that the previous game was a 6-5 game, featured a lot of strikeouts. So no strikeouts, but they played great. Their girl that was a pitcher caught a fly ball where she's running backwards like Willie Mays, catches it in the air.
Wow.
For the out to end an inning with the bases loaded.
Clutch.
Our best player is upset by it because she's the first time she's been out all year, and we're trying to tell her it's not your fault. She just made a really good play, and she's almost in tears. We're down a run. We come up to bat, and we had an all-time explosion of an inning where every single hit was to the outfield. Girls were rounding third, heading home. We had a girl at first base who was really good for the Rockies in a dead sprint. Trying to catch my daughter at the plate at one point. Evie lunges towards home, hits the plate, scores a run, place explodes.
Yes.
Evie got a nice double that scored two runs. It was the moment when we got up. You only score six in an inning. I did not take a sigh of relief until it was 11-4. Once we scored that run, I knew it was over at that point because there wasn't enough time for them to catch up. And we ended up winning 12-4. But it was in doubt for about half the game. Until we had a 5-run inning to go up 8-4 and follow that up with three up, three down. Quick story that anyone who's ever been around youth sports will appreciate. One of the girls on our team, Morgan, who's my assistant coach's daughter, super smart girl, super sweet, listens, always under control, great player, leadoff hitter, okay? She was our pitcher throughout the tournament. And pitcher is the pitcher and first base, most important spots in
get the most
in Pee-wee. So she decides, unbeknownst to us, we didn't tell her. Coach Zach, her dad, asked me, did you instruct her to do that? Nope. She decided that it was going to be easier, especially with the rain that was coming down early in the game. She would catch the ground ball and throw it and roll it fast to first, almost like she's throwing a practice ground ball to the first baseman. Instead of trying to throw it and risk the hop dying or giving a harder catch for the first baseman, she would do a fast roll to first, and we got three up, three down. The inning after scoring five runs to go up 8-4, ground ball, fast roll to first. Ground ball, fast roll to first. Ground ball, fast roll to first. Girls, dugout, dugout, dugout. I mean, we were going nuts. Three up, three down because she decided to do that. And I looked at Morgan and said, Morgan, who told you to do that? She just smiles, says, no one. I just knew it would be better. Those are the moments where you get super pumped because someone figured something out on the fly on their own just by watching, observing, playing all year. You can teach a lot, but when you see that moment where, oh, they took a little bit of teaching and did something I wasn't even thinking of, that I didn't even think I could explain that to her. Hey, I need you to roll the ball to first instead of doing that to get outs more efficiently. It was awesome.
Let's discuss the trophies, which seem to have a little bit of yellow to them.
Yep.
How do we feel about the trophy design?
I mean, it was a part of the – it was free. It was part of the league fee, I guess. I didn't buy the trophies.
No, I know.
It's tough for me to complain. I was actually impressed that –
I don't know if the league designed the trophy to be fair.
I was impressed.
I thought they shopped poorly.
Okay.
I was impressed that Mount Juliet League even purchased trophies. I didn't know that was a thing because every team gets a medal. You know, every girl gets a medal. Then they had a first and second place trophy. And so I didn't really care much about the color. One of our young girls dropped the trophy, like tripped and fell and broke the trophy on the ground right after I handed it to her. So she's crying, and I'm thankful they had one extra trophy that we could hand to her immediately for that first place trophy.
I'm surprised you didn't bring in the trophy to put on the desk here for one show.
I mean, look, it sounds cheesy.
Coach doesn't get a medal.
Yeah,
it's like the Olympics.
Hutton actually brought that up to me, the idea today, and I completely botched it and forgot. But I'll bring it tomorrow in honor of the
championship. I'll turn it into a two-day celebration.
I'll put it right here.
No 24-hour rule here.
You know, and then I might bring it next week also, just in case.
Maybe it would become a permanent part of the new season.
Since I forgot to bring it today, guys, you twist them all. Bring it the next 2 days.
Here's the truth. He forgot to bring it today because it's in the studio being built into the new set.
You know what? I'll do one better for you. We'll permanently put it in a case behind us for the entirety of the show.
Congratulations. A lot of fun to follow the story with you all year.
Well, what was cool, too, is they actually knew they won a championship.
Yeah.
Like when the umpire said ball game, they celebrated without us saying anything to them, which was pretty cool because
the
start of the year, they'd come up 16-2 and say, Coach, are we ahead? At the end of the game, like, did you not see all the runs that you were scoring? You don't understand those count as runs, but now they understand.
Terrific. Now you're in for some boring times. You're going to miss it.
Well, because of my travel schedule in the fall with Outkick and what we do on the weekends, I will not be able to be the head coach because I'll miss almost every Saturday game. But we are working out a system where we can keep five or six of the girls and the same three coaches will be coaches. So I could be assistant and help out with pitching when I'm there during the week, and then someone else steps in on the weekend just so we can keep that group together as we go up to Pee Wee.
You get somebody to do the Game Changer app so you can follow it from the road. Like
I enjoyed it a lot more than I thought that I would. But when I look back and think, you know, we started the season practicing in snow and sleet in March. The first practice, there was snow in the forecast. And we played in 92-degree heat at one point and then finished in late May with a championship. It's good to have a break, guys. I will say, it's also nice that the season is over.
Topics.
Simon is in that mode. He doesn't have games this week. We'll go on vacation next week. Then he comes back like on the Sunday end of the tournament. And I asked him, you want to go see your hitting and pitching coach Wednesday night like you usually do? And he said, not this week. He is in a
all-star break.
Yeah.
Getaway day.
He needs just a little time get away. Away. He needs a little time away from baseball.
Topics today include Kyle Shanahan being extremely honest with the media, continues to say, yeah, I think Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be traded. The head coach of the quarterback who made it to the NFC Championship game last year is still saying that.
That tells you how clear he's been with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes, yes. And, you know, take that to also how the Browns are treating Mayfield. I want to compare this. We will discuss the exact quote and how rare it is to just have a head. Most of the time, the head coach in a situation like that would just say, you know, that's something that John Lynch is he's having those conversations right now. Yeah. You know, he would pass the buck. And instead, I think it's telling that they have that type of relationship. And I think it's also telling the direction that he is trying to make sure they go this fall with the quarterback he wanted with Lance. Well, what does that mean for Trey Lance in week one? We'll get into that. The Steelers have named a general manager after interviewing double-digit candidates. They go in-house, as probably anyone would have predicted. That's what Pittsburgh does. We'll explain who Omar Khan is and what he means for that organization. Later, SEC scheduling futures and much, much more. Dan Dockich is on tap today. When we come back, reaction to the Deshaun Watson accuser interview where two of them were on HBO Real Sports. And I know you guys had a chance to watch some of the clips. I've read the quotes. We'll give reaction to what they had to say and reaction just topically to what the NFL does now, the timing of it being that Goodell said they're nearing the end of their overall investigation. All of that and more straight ahead. First, though, Aurora Nutrascience and VitaLifeScience.com, the website, VIDALifeScience.com. Excited to partner with them for their supplements. They keep us mentally sharp and healthy. And they deliver supplements where you need them the most, your body. You're seeing VitalLifeScience.com right now. This is where you can receive more information. Outkick 360 season ticket holders receive a 15% discount with the code OUTKICK360. Typical pills, capsules, not well absorbed. In fact, most are only absorbed in small, very small amounts. It's just a waste for your digestive system. But here's Aurora. Unique, cutting-edge, nutritional, and absorbable supplements encapsulated in liposomes that ensure greater absorption in the body's bloodstream. I use the vitamin C, the vitamin D3, the glutathione. If you're a weekend warrior, if you take medication for high cholesterol, if you want the endless benefits of curcumin, Aurora supplements can help you. VitaLifeScience.com for more info. 15% off with the code OUTKICK360. That's 15% off with the code OUTKICK360 at VitaLifeScience.com. Glad you're with us across the OutKick Network, including SOMO Sports Radio, Joplin, Missouri. We say hello. If you're listening, we hope you will tag us on social media. Let us know you're listening by mentioning us, shooting us a note on Twitter at OutKick360. You can join Chad in the chat on the YouTube page as well. Just search us out there, OutKick360. We hope you'll subscribe there. Also, Facebook and many other ways at OutKick.com. Crew is all here today. Coming up in about 30 minutes or so, we have Primary Complaint, 25 minutes from now. Looking forward to that. Dan Dockich will join us in about an hour, and we'll hit some bigger topics with him. I've got a question for Paul about the Yankees closer and how they're going about making sure that he gets everything right, and we'll dive deep on that, plus what the 49ers are doing with Jimmy Garoppolo. All of that and more coming up. The big interview last night was with two accusers for Deshaun Watson, and in an interview with Soledad O'Brien for HBO Real Sports, two sat down and went into detail about their claims of all kinds of things with Watson from a couple of years ago and how everything has been handled within the last 12 months. One accuser saying that Watson's statement is a bold-faced lie. Meanwhile, Goodell says to the media at the owners' meetings in Atlanta on the same day that the NFL is nearing the end of the Watson investigation, where they will take the recommendation of the independent person who's looking into this as to whether or not he should or should not be suspended. So that's where we are. Guys, it's hard not to hear and see the quotes and go back to where we were, I don't know if it's exactly a year ago, but roughly a year ago, and think, here we go again, thinking, how can this guy be allowed to just, you know, be out there in purgatory one way or the other? The NFL shouldn't allow him to play based on this and how they've suspended people in the past, but yet we're here having the conversation of whether or not he will be suspended.
I thought Soledad O'Brien was particularly excellent here as the interviewer of these two women, and then a lawyer of Deshaun Watson's who came in late. They give Watson's side multiple chances to be heard. They declined, and then they came in a day before this thing went to bed and said they'd like to be included. So they did a separate interview that they tacked on at the end. She was pitch perfect to me, Chad, and she asked questions. Dokich was making fun of John Sawatzky recently when we had him, the ESPN, former ESPN interview expert who teaches you how to ask really good questions. She followed a lot of his rules there. But I thought the two women were, you know, you can say that they're rehearsed or whatever. They were incredibly believable, very calm, very to me, they were heartfelt women telling a story about what happened to them that struck me as entirely credible and made him look terrible. And I didn't think that his lawyer did much to offset that except trying to pin things on Busby as being a group organizer for the 22. And I don't particularly care who's representing the 22. If they have 22 stories that don't necessarily follow a similar path and don't seem rehearsed, and these women came from all different places and all, they weren't, you know, as somebody said, from the same strip
all
mall.
Different stories.
Yeah, all the same.
Most masseuses were contacted via Instagram or social media, but yes, all different places around town, different stories, didn't know each other.
And he admits to having sexual contact with three of them.
Yes.
Consensual.
Three of the accusers.
Which he says, his side says, that the massage was finished, and the women, initiated the sex, oral sex on two occasions, vaginal sex on one occasion. I don't know. He doesn't have much credibility in those denials to me.
Well, I thought that the two women were very believable, too. I'm not, you know, going one way or the other, but especially Ashley Solis, who was the first one to speak out, because, you know, she ended it, right? She cried, and she ended it, and then they didn't talk after that, you know? So everything else, and you knew this was going to happen, but the defense starts to poke holes in it by saying, well, if it was so uncomfortable, why did you keep texting him and messaging him back for so long and talking to him about a possible other massage? And I thought Soledad O'Brien did a great job asking that question to the second accuser last night that was on camera. And she said, because, you know, I've got a job to protect also. I don't know if he's going to retaliate against me professionally. I don't know what he's going to do, so I'm just doing things to string him along. But notice, I didn't
well
do
said.
It again.
Right?
You know, she's like, I did not consent to another massage with him. So I thought both of the accusers they had on camera telling their story were completely credible and absolutely believable. I thought the interview with Watson's attorney was incredibly well done.
By
his female attorney. And here's something
else. It's no mistake that they used a female attorney.
Here's something else I noticed about it, too. And I don't know if you caught this, Paul, in watching it. It was clearly not something that was done sequentially. And what I mean by that is they were presented with a scripted question from Soledad O'Brien, and she gave back a video answer that was canned to those questions. There was no chance for reaction on her face to the questions. There was no chance for anything else. To me, that looked like, okay, we'll answer your questions. Send your questions in exactly how they're asked. And then she just sat down and recorded four or five responses to those questions. And then it sent back in, and they cut it up to make it look like Soledad O'Brien's asked the question and she's doing it. I could tell that was not the case in watching. I'm not saying that's something unethical. That's completely fine because it's still that's her answer to the question. It just looked like it was done at a different time.
I don't know. The thing that
gave
her
plenty of time to prepare answers to those questions.
It was done yesterday morning based on the story I read.
The thing that makes me doubt that scenario, Chad, is that Soledad O'Brien, oddly to me, at the end said, okay, we're out of time. was how Soledad O'Brien wrapped up the end of that. So I think they put them on a clock and said, listen, we're up against our deadline now. If you're going to talk to us, it's got to be by X hour, and we've got to be done by X hour. And Deshaun Watson's side took it right up to that last 5 minutes, and they had literally a five-minute conversation at the end of which Soledad O'Brien said, okay, we're literally out of time.
It was Monday.
We're cutting this and going to post-production.
Graham joined O'Brien for 8 minutes on a video call Monday morning after Watson's team initially declined to be interviewed.
Well, if that was actually back and forth in an interview,
that's from Cleveland.com.
She was ready. Terrific on every answer given. And, you know, she goes after the credibility of Tony Busby, but she doesn't give a great account for what Ashley Solis said in defending that from Watson, but then goes into, because the first question was great, Paul. You said it yesterday from Soledad O'Brien. Why should people believe your client, one person against 22 people? Right? Like, why should we believe?
Shift that to the lawyer.
And she said, well, it's really one versus one. Our question is, why should you believe one attorney who, after there was one accusation, and by the way, she went to multiple attorneys that would not take the case based on the credibility of it. So why did he take the case, and why is he soliciting other people out of nowhere and asking different – he's doing research and finding different people that Deshaun Watson's worked with and seeing if they will jump on the case too. I thought she did a really good job of doing exactly what a defense attorney needs to do.
Yes.
Provide doubt in any way possible. I think it's highly unlikely that 22 people got together and concocted some big-time lie, and none of this is true. And again, Deshaun Watson is admitting under oath that there were sexual relationships with three of the women right after the massage. But I thought both sides did very well. But, Paul, I come away from this, and Hutton, thinking exactly what I thought when 22 women came out against Deshaun Watson. Highly unlikely he's not guilty of something.
I think another thing that the lawyer being so good, Chad, lent me is how it kind of answered Solis's question about, I don't know, or she was asked by Soledad O'Brien, you know, how could a grand jury
come back
with nothing? And she tearfully said, I don't know. I don't understand. Well, the lawyer being so good in that tells you part of the answer. The lawyers did very well in front of that grand jury to you know, with their words in front of that grand jury to create the kind of doubt this interview.
But I would also say the grand jury looked at the evidence and threw it out.
Like, yeah, that's insufficient for that, moving forward, but it doesn't make him
consider
innocent.
Where we are, and it also doesn't make him guilty.
Correct.
That's important to mention here. Just because, based on what they're saying, this has all been in documents that were out there since before the start of the NFL season. And since that time, he has been deposed. He has talked to the press since he had his new contract and answered questions for, like an hour in front of including the Browns in that because they were there. And on top of that, he's had the cases thrown out of the criminal side of things. The police investigated this. That was why the NFL said they couldn't suspend him or act at the time, is because the police were not helping them with information. So with all of that, now we're just rehashing the same details that were in those the suits. And we're saying the same exact thing we were saying a year ago, but a lot has happened that hasn't cost him anything.
I come away watching that. That's why I have that reaction, because it's a lot of rehashing of the initial allegations last night. So I go back to my initial reaction when all of this came out. But what I cannot square is two grand juries saw all of the evidence, and it's not guilty or innocent. They didn't even file charges. They didn't even take it to trial to decide if it's guilty or innocent.
Right.
And that is crazy to me. And that's what lent to the question and the answer from the accuser that said, I don't know.
I do think from a league perspective, though, it becomes and listen, I'm not saying the league is right or wrong.
No, I know, yeah.
But from a league perspective, the more stuff you get like this, especially video of somebody talking about it credibly and – women who, could anybody watching that feels sympathetic for them, I would think.
Of course, yes.
That sways things in a certain direction. It's one thing to read accusations. It's another thing to read their comments. Then when you see video of them talking, it gradually heightens this thing. It shouldn't be necessary, but we tend to feel more emotion when we see that. And that goes against Deshaun Watson, maybe not in court, but in the NFL court.
Well, and it was very, we would say good lawyering on the defense side. It was good lawyering on
Busby's
their side,
to,
too,
to have, the,
have them sit
appear.
Down right before they're about to hand down a suspension or not.
Actually, yeah.
I mean, that's right. Why. That's why they did it now as opposed to 2 months ago.
Or 10 months ago.
Yeah. We we'd only read these details. And those who came forward, but it's a sad situation to think about what we heard and know that first off, these are civil matters, not criminal matters that we're actually discussing. And the fact that the criminal matters didn't even make it to court, didn't even meet the threshold of deniability or accusations that didn't meet the threshold of being able to prove anything of evidentiary to move forward into a criminal court itself.
What do we know?
That's crazy.
What do we know about what the Browns or the other teams that were looking into the trade, Carolina, Atlanta?
There were four others,
Washington,
right?
Washington, maybe.
Oh, let's also say
what
that,
do we know about what those
let's
conversations?
Let's throw in the others who called. Indianapolis. The reports are the Tennessee Titans called. There were multiple teams that picked up the phone and called with all of this going on.
What do we know, though, about the four who pursued further and their communication with the league? Like, what did the league tell them? What do we know about that? Do we know anything about that?
This is an important part, I think, because I thought the Browns and the NFL looked worst in this piece last night. Because it was so quick, but the clip they played of Jimmy Haslam and his wife saying, we looked into this more than anything we've ever looked into in our time here with the Browns.
And this is a guy who got
this
into
was
big
thoroughly
trouble
vetted,
for his pilot
and we
stuff.
Feel great about it, and we looked into everything thoroughly. Then it cuts to, hey, did anyone from the Browns contact you or interview you? Nope. Not one person. That was damning for the Cleveland Browns. And then
we knew that.
The two women saying, yeah. I felt offended. And yes, this was old news, but saying, I felt offended by the league, like they were just trying to go through the motions to say they did it. They didn't want to get any info. They had their minds made up one way or the other, and they didn't really, do anything that would lead us to believe they were trying to get to the truth about Deshaun Watson. They were just going through the motions. And then I immediately think, HBO is an NFL partner. Isn't it amazing that I feel like the NFL can shut down almost anything else that makes them look bad from their media partners? Yet HBO Real Sports can go in there with a shovel and pour dirt on them in this case. And I, as the viewer, I leave that thinking, we knew all this, the accusations about Watson, and I thought the accusers handled themselves very well. But I come away from it thinking, damn, that's a great reminder that the Browns and the NFL don't look good in this either.
It's a good point.
And that's from HBO, their partner.
And they've got some real journalistic independence on that show. And thank God somebody still does. Because Outside the Lines is basically non-existent anymore because of the NFL. Bob Lee retired basically because of the NFL. When do we see Jeremy Schapp anymore?
We don't.
Very infrequently.
Yeah, right? That's – you guys know I've been harping on this for months. Yeah. The reporting on this has just been awful.
Yeah.
Because no one's been really digging. They've just been reacting.
It's been Jenny Vrentis.
We've just been reacting to anything that we see.
Yeah.
Like we're reacting to the interview last night, but no one, again, like.
Very
it's
little
just,
fresh digging. Very little independent digging.
I don't think the other teams, going back to your question about what they, that they know anything from the league, all of that firestorm with wanting to get him traded started immediately after the grand jury, the first one, threw out those cases.
Yep.
And then the trade was on, like within days. And I think it just came down to the offer as to why the Browns got him. Because remember, this part of that whole saga, reports where he had eliminated the Browns from contention.
The first
and all
of the
of a sudden,
four that was eliminated.
Back in.
Yeah,
and not just back in, signing.
Yeah, massive contract with a favorable first year that would save him from a big fiscal penalty if he's suspended.
Think,
this year.
So think of the Browns end up taking the biggest physical penalty if he's suspended, because they've got the guarantee and he's only going to make $1 million base, and that's what he'll be if he's suspended. Right. They'll take from that base salary, not his overall guarantee. Meanwhile, Atlanta, for trying to get a trade done, lost Matt Ryan, because Ryan admitted had they not done that, he'd still be there. He has a dead cap hit in Atlanta of like $40 million. I know they negotiated it down, but it was not much.
It's higher than Carson Wentz.
And so it's not like they traded him and they don't feel the
pain,
the repercussions of that. So they have factored in there, and there are others here. The Texans certainly went through it last year. Point being, the one that I think will be punished the least from the league will be Deshaun Watson, because he's going to ultimately miss six games, gets the biggest contract in the history that's fully guaranteed. When I say six games, I'm just throwing out what everyone's hearing, right? And it's not going to be fined all that much compared to what he's making. It's crazy. As Goodell stands up, we're nearing the end of investigation. Well, you're way late. Yeah. Way late if you're actually trying to punish him.
Yeah, I mean, they're punishing him. They're going to say, you know, and I do believe this is the case, missed games are a certain degree of punishment. But it's got to come with fiscal punishment,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I mean, he got paid.
And usually they come hand in hand, and here the Browns evaded that. That Watson's agent got one. In a huge way to evade that. And the Browns are going to be paying him a bleep ton of money, have already put a bleep ton of money in his pocket, despite the fact that he might miss six or eight games here.
Jay Stan says, you'd think that an organization as big as the NFL would have resources. I believe they know something that we don't.
That's going to hurt him or help him?
I'm guessing he's saying that would help Deshaun Watson is why they haven't done anything yet, but I just don't know what that is. But then I go back to two grand juries wouldn't even press charges. And it even says in the piece, the defense is saying they have evidence of communication that there was some conspiracy going on here to extort money, that these women started talking and said, let's try to get money from Deshaun Watson. Now, I'll also say, even if that's true, that doesn't mean he didn't do what he's accused of doing.
Exactly.
You know, that speaks to the character of the women, you know, saying, getting together and saying, hey, let's get this guy for some money. Tony Busby said, if I find out any of that is true or is happening, I will not represent them. So he's on record saying that. They will no longer be a part of his
I don't have a lot of faith in Tony Busby, but he did a good job presenting himself last night as well. You know, I think he's probably a shyster lawyer.
I mean, I'm just think about all the talking they did.
But Chester lawyers
they
get good
really
cases.
Quiet,
he looks like Saul Goodman to me. Like well, I'm looking at his suit.
I would hire Saul
and
Goodman.
His look, and I'm like, this guy.
Especially
is,
if you're in the country.
This guy is Better Call Saul.
Coming up,
who's also a good attorney, by the way.
Primary complaint is straight ahead. We air our top grievance of the week next on Outkick 360.